dearly loved. That's what it says. That's who you are. So it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and He calls us to forgive and love. It's pretty simple, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place. We pray that our hearts would please you, our thoughts would please you. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up in this place. That your Holy Spirit would have free reign, not only in our midst, but in us. Would you come and would you stir us, surprise us with something we weren't expecting? We love you, we praise you, we thank you that you have called us your very own. And it's in the precious and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able as we worship.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often find. Of the truth of this statement, what a friend we have in the God of the universe, the one that created you and the one that created me, that put the breath inside of our lungs, has made a way through Jesus Christ to be our friend, the holy one, the perfect one, holy in character, just in all of his ways, knows the number of hairs on each one of our heads this morning, and that's not very many for some of you. Oh, you missed the cue, Brent. There you are. I gave you a shot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. It was too good. But we have a friend in Jesus. We have a friend in Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you're like me, man, I struggle through this life. And every day I come to this point where I truly realize this, that there is nothing that I can do on my own, and that everything God calls me to do, it takes 100% of His power, that I cannot accomplish the things that the Lord wants me to do in my own power. And so we live out this walk with Jesus through prayer, asking God to change us, asking God to empower us by His Holy Spirit. And so since we're gathered here this morning, church, let's ask God, let's ask our friend, the creator of the universe, but the one who loves us, let's ask Jesus to come into our hearts in this time of worship and to make us more like Christ as we are here and as we sing together and we get to enjoy the fellowship of all the wonderful people, God's holy and chosen people in this place. This is a special place. I'm thankful for you, church. Let's worship Him with all that we have. And know that the Spirit of the Lord is here, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. When I'm walking through the valley, well, Your presence is around me. There's nothing stands between me and my God. Was my prison. It's no longer where I'm living. Nothing stands between me and my God. There's no place I go where He is not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Christ, a round of applause this morning. Okay, children, y'all can come on down. The rest of you, you may be seated.
There we go. Everybody good? All right, let me get this over here. Good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all excited to be at church today?
Yeah.
Are you excited to be at church today?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm excited to be at church today. And why do we come to church?
To learn about
what? To learn about God. To learn about
heaven.
That's right. That's right. So I have a question for you. So if you're outside and it's really dark and you can't see where you're walking and you're not sure what you might step on, you could step in a hole, you could trip on a rock. Is that a good thing to do?
No.
Or step on a snake. You're absolutely right. You could step on a snake. That definitely would not be very good. That's right. So what could you use to give you, so you could see in the dark? What can you use? Christian?
A flashlight.
That's right. So I have a flashlight. Is a flashlight good? Does it help you follow so you know where you're going if you have the flashlight so you can see? Yes, if it's dark, that's right. But if you don't have a flashlight and you can't see, it's not a really good, you don't know where you're going to go, does it? Yeah, so is a flashlight important? It helps you see. It shines the light where you can walk down the path to so you won't fall and get hurt, okay? So do you know that there's another kind of light that we need? Do you know what light we need? The sun. We do need the sun. You're absolutely right. We need Jesus. That's right. Carly?
The most important light is Jesus.
The most important light is Jesus. Yes. Grayson?
A candle.
You could absolutely use a candle, it says. That's right. And it says the light that I'm talking about is the light that comes from God. And it's in Psalms 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word," which is the Bible, "is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Did you know God's word will lead and guide us all the time? Isn't that wonderful? God is stronger than darkness. Amen. That's right. So we need God's light, His word, to light our path and show us how to live each day, right? Do we want to live for Jesus every day? So how can we learn to live for Jesus if we don't know His word? Do we know it? So we need to know His word, right? So we can live for Jesus and let that be the light for us. Just like the flashlight shines in the dark, God's word is our flashlight. So when you see the Bible, think of it as a flashlight, and that He shines on us and He teaches us and guides us in our world every day to do what is right and true and on the right path, following Jesus, living for Him. So let's let Jesus, let God be our light this week. Can y'all do that? Not just this week, but every day, right? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for these boys and girls that are here today. Just bless our time. And I thank You that you love us so much that You do give us Your word. And it is a light for us to live by. And so that we will follow in Your footsteps, Lord Jesus, and be everything that You're calling us to do and be obedient to You, Lord. We thank You for everything You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go this way.
Well, good morning, church. Great to see everybody this morning. Great to have those worshiping with us online. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the app. Operation Christmas Child is in full swing, and we have a video that we need to view about that. Go ahead, Lee.
One thing that is clear when we talk about Operation Christmas Child is not just a gift box distribution. It's invading the kingdom of darkness to share the light of the gospel. One thing about the Benin team and the volunteers is the passion they have for evangelism. Through OCC, they are getting to places that no church will be allowed to come. Benin is one of the rare countries in the world where you have a national day that celebrates the occult. People believe that through some sort of sacrifices and some sort of mystical words, they can invite spirit to possess things that they set into their homes. The volunteers in Benin are going to wherever there's a need for gospel. They are going by boat, going by canoe. We have seen them using the motor taxis just to share the gospel, that to equip churches that are operating there. And also we've been blessed to visit the Holy People. The Holy People are a rich people group located 130 kilometers from the capital city of Benin. There is no school, there's no church, and the only thing the children are exposed to is the occult.
Le DN, on a quitté Cotonou. Nous avons réuni 600 holies que nous avons fait. Ils ont fait des classes PGV, plusieurs classes PGV.
They see children receive their gift boxes, and you see that family just experience something that is a miracle to them. And that community actually opens up. This church will just start with the children, but give it 3 months, 6 months, a year, you will see a grown church with the adults. And most of those adults are the parents of the children. I think that's the real image of Operation Christmas Child in this country, helping people to cut from the long-standing traditional stronghold that have been holding them back and moving forward with Christ, and to reach all the corners, all the places in this country. That's amazing.
Well, the power of the gospel, the power of the shoebox. So if you want to put some shoeboxes together, you can find those in the foyer by both entrances. There's more information about the whole OCC, Operation Christmas Child Ministry in our church on the app. So you can go there and find out more information. This afternoon from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, there's a come-and-go prayer time in the fellowship hall for this ministry. So please take advantage of that. There's an insert in your bulletin about a pancake fundraiser that'll take place not this Wednesday night, but it'll take place next Wednesday night in place of our normal Wednesday night meal. You can read more about that. And then Trunk or Treat is in 2 weeks, and I have an update on our candy pursuit. We have 23,000 pieces of candy, give or take, 600 or 700. But we're still 27,000 pieces short. So we got a couple weeks to reach that goal. We're looking for 50 cars. We have 33 of those committed. And we are in need of a number of people to volunteer to help in the parking lot, to help with traffic flow, pedestrian flow. And so you can either sign up through the insert in the bulletin, or you can do that through our app, or you can do that through our website. So if you're able, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning our focus is going to be on the conflict in Israel. And, I think that Satan unleashed a demonic horde, a what started this. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the ruling government, Palestinian government in Gaza, breached some barriers, and this wasn't an attack on a military, another military force. It was an attack on civilians, and it's got Satan's handprints, fingerprints all over it. So what I want to do, I want to pray for peace in that region. I want to pray that the enemy's efforts are thwarted. I want to pray for wisdom for the Israeli government, for the military, for our government moving forward as well. And so many families lost so many loved ones in a terrible way. So let's go to the Lord and lift this situation up. If you want to join me at the altar, you're always free to do that. Father, we love you. We trust you. Lord, I know Israel is the apple of your eye, and for some unknown reason, you sovereignly chose them thousands of years ago to be your people. And Lord, nothing escapes your notice. Father, that nation is grieving, that nation is struggling. And so, Lord, I just pray that God, you bring peace in the midst of that situation. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, I don't know what segment of that population is Christian. I think it's a very small amount, but I pray that the Yeshua is high and exalted, high and lifted up, and that many people will be drawn to him during this time. Lord, I lift up the Israeli government. I pray for wisdom for them. I pray for the military force. I pray for wisdom for them as they try to root out these terrorists. And Father, I do lift up the families that have lost loved ones. It's lost children and infant children and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. God, would you bring healing to them, supernatural healing in the midst of immense grief. And Father, I pray for those Palestinians in Gaza that are in harm's way. Lord, I pray, God, that you make a way for them, Lord, just to be out of the midst of that conflict. God, would you make provision for them, just food and water? Would you raise up organizations, God, that can come in and just help them navigate what's going on? And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that every evildoer in that region be extinguished by your power and for your glory. Lord, protect Israel, protect the people, protect those who are fighting. And Father, give our government discernment as well. God, give them the boldness to support that nation. And Father, for us, as we kind of navigate this mentally, Lord, I don't know what you're up to. I don't know what you're doing. Father, we don't want to be caught unaware. And so, Lord, give us discernment moving forward about the times that we're going through. Oh, Father, at the end of the day, you're still on the throne. At the end of the day, you are still good. And there's a number of people that need to know that, need to latch on to that. So, Father, we lift up that region. Be glorified, be exalted in that area. Lord, I just thank you for opportunities to gather together in the name of Jesus. And Lord, would you, God, just pull back the veil just a little bit this morning. And God, so we can know you more. So we can connect with you in a deeper way. Father, if truth be told, every one of us in this room needs you. Reveal yourself to us. Even if we're not looking for you, reveal yourself to us. You're so kind. So, so kind. And we thank you for who you are. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you, we'll have several people available up front after the service if you need personal prayer for anything. Our offering boxes are located by the doors. Any insert that you might fill out, any prayer request card you might fill out, can be dropped in those boxes as well. You can give electronically. Church, thank you so much for your faithfulness as we continue to worship the Lord together.
Song will be the same.
Christ be magnified.
Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Good morning again, church.
Good morning.
Good morning to our worshipers at home and our live stream. Glad that you are with us. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. I know we've got some guests with us this morning. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but it says guest registration. Would love to meet you after the service. You can bring that card with you. I'll be at that end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests. So hope that you will come and meet me. This past week, I got to meet Dennis Reiling's baby brother and his wife. Go ahead and throw that up there. Dennis, what happened to you, bud? That's your baby brother? No comment back there. That is Gary, and it's not in the picture, but Gary's wife, Carrie, and had the honor of meeting them this week. They came here from Michigan, and Gary just accepted the Lord a couple of years ago, and he wanted to be baptized, and he wanted his big brother to be baptized again, which Dennis had been baptized, so we rededicated Dennis's baptism and baptized Gary. I went to Dennis's home, and that's right after baptizing him, and so I just want to celebrate with him. I think Gary and Carrie may be watching us, possibly, or watching the recording, so we were glad to do that. If you will turn with me, church, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We've been traveling through Philippians. This is our last week. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when everything's going great. What? It doesn't say that? Oh, okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm sorry. My bad. I will say it again, Paul says, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, I know this next verse doesn't pertain to any of us, but let's read it anyway. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you, and we trust in your promises that you are here. We now ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak. That you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, I actually challenged the church to do this 21-day complaint-free challenge. Y'all remember that? Had the purple bracelets. I think most of the purple bracelets are gone after this morning, but I want to show you again. You know, that's one of the struggles that we have in us, in our culture, is complaining. So watch this journey that this gentleman was on. We'll be right back. So, Cody, we have a similar haircut, me and that guy. I need an earring, the loop earring, to make it complete. Did you see about three times he made it to day 17 and then went back? Was 4 days away. I'm sure if he had had hair, he would have been pulling it out, Cody, at that point. So we are concluding my series on joyful living. Joyful living. Today's message is the secret of being content. So complaining, being content, they kind of go hand in hand. One of the things that struck me about this chapter 4 is on two different occasions, Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So, and you think about Paul's life, I mean, he didn't have an easy life. He was beaten, he was left for dead, he was shipwrecked multiple times, he was imprisoned, falsely accused, betrayed, on and on and on, Paul's life. In fact, he wrote the book of Philippians from where? From prison. He's writing these words from a cold, dark cell. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So this chapter is full of ways we can do that. So let's jump in. The secret of being content is to give God the sacrifice of praise. This verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, not under certain circumstances, to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Hebrews says it this way, through Jesus, that's important, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. So what he's saying is it's easy to praise God when everything is going perfect. Yes? Which is not that often, by the way. But it's easy when everybody is well-fed and with plenty of money and everybody's healthy and everybody likes you, it's really easy to praise God in those circumstances. But what God is trying to teach us is that sometimes praise is a sacrifice. We find ourselves in difficult situations, difficult circumstances, and that's when we are called to rejoice always and to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. You want to be content? You want to be happy in this life? Learn how to praise God, give Him that sacrifice of praise. Secondly, God's Word is saying the secret of being content is to pray, pray, pray. Do not be anxious about anything. In everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what he's saying is, rather than being anxious, to substitute prayer instead of being anxious. How many of you have ever solved any issue by being anxious? Come on. Anybody? It doesn't work. When we're anxious, when we worry about things, I have people, I won't name any names, I have people in my family that occasionally I'll say, don't worry about that. I'm not worrying. Well, God is saying don't replace worry, replace anxiousness with prayer. 1 Thessalonians, Paul again says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That's God's will, that's His heart for us, is that we would always be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And I've said this before, but I call Christians that have a snare on their face. Scowl. There we go, scowl. Have a scowl on their face all the time, freeze-dried Christians. Has a freeze-dried Christian ever brought anybody to Christ? If we are an angry, disgruntled people, nobody's attracted to that. Does anybody in here want to be around people that are angry and disgruntled and always complaining. None of us want to be around that. God is saying that my will for you is to be joyful always, not be joyful when everything is lined up just right, and to pray continually and to give thanks in all circumstances. It's hard to be content when we are worried and anxious about every little thing. I mean, if we let worry overtake us and anxiousness overtake us, I promise we will not be joyful. We will not be a content people. And I'm preaching to myself here. Y'all are welcome to listen as well. First Peter says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. So we don't have to worry because we understand who we are in Christ, what he has done for us, and what lays ahead for us. The eternity that he has prepared for us, that he will walk with us in this life. I was telling the early service, I know this is maybe a strange illustration, but it works for me. I hope it works for you. Y'all pray for me. Don't be anxious. Pray for me because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Even after last week, I'm still a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm true to the end. And sometimes I can't view the game live, so I record it. And if you're out somewhere and other people have seen the game and they know how it comes out, and they come over and say, man, I can't believe it. And I'm like, la, 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 la. You don't want to hear. But somehow, inevitably, somebody just makes it their mission in life to let you know how the game went. And here's the deal. I have had occasions where I have learned of a recording game that I have. I have learned that Dallas won. And when I still want to watch the game. I'm a sick man. Pray for me. And I come home and I fire up the DVR. And first time they fumble the ball, Dallas fumbles the ball, I kind of go, hey, no problem. We win this one. And then the quarterback may throw a couple of interceptions. Hey, no problem. We got this one covered. We win. And so I'm not anxious. And if I was watching it live, I'd be like, they fumbled again. But I know how it ends. And so, I watched the game in peace. Fumbles, interceptions, penalties, that don't bother me because we win. That's what Jesus is telling us. He has already purchased our eternity, and he walks with us today through this life. So why are we anxious? Pray to him. Ask him to give us this peace. Cast our anxiety upon him because he cares for us. If you don't know that, I hope you know it today. And then third point, the secret of being content is to use the power of God. Am I cutting out, Arliss, or is that just my... I am cutting out. I think if you'll bring me a battery in a second. The secret of being content is to use the power of godly thinking. Verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about that. And what do we do, church? What do we find ourselves doing? We can find ourselves dwelling on negative things. And all you have to do is read the newspaper, read online, watch the news, or give it up for Arliss Wright again. We're going to have to start changing the batteries more often. So, we find ourselves being consumed by, I mean, golly, I mean, in the last, anything, you heard of anything bad going on in the last week? Anybody caught, picked up on that? I told y'all a couple of years ago that I used to consume the news fairly regularly. I mean, not, like consume is, was probably an understatement. And I just said a couple of years ago, I'm done with that. I'm tired of putting that junk up here and with the danger of it taking root in here. So I still stay informed, but I don't consume the news like I did, or they just over and over and over. Let me tell you this bad thing that's happening. And then 15 minutes later, let me tell you that again in case you missed it the last time. Ma'am, I want to put, I've told y'all before, and I've told Cheryl, I don't want to become an angry old man. Anybody besides me? I don't. Maybe women, you would be an angry old woman, but I don't want to become an angry old man. And if we're not watching what we're putting up here, that's what we can become. And I promise you, angry old men have never enticed anybody to Christ. And that is my motivation. Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised with Christ, that's who we are, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be informed of what's going on in our world. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to guard what's going in here over and over and over. And I'd say, with not just with news, but with the music we listen to, the programs we watch, where we go on the internet, the books we read, all of the stuff that we're putting into our mind, we have to guard our mind because it can impact the heart. I'm going to try to say this right, Corey Wood. I use this quote. Corey gave me this quote originally. We can't control if a bird flies through the barn, but we don't have to build it a nest. And I know that's not exactly right, but it's close, right? We can't control if the bird flies through the barn, but we don't have to build it a nest. And so, yes, this is a broken world that we are in, but we don't have to dwell on that. We have Christ to offer to this broken world. Use the power of godly thinking. Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10. Demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That as those thoughts come into our mind, take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. Contentment. So we've got this wrestling between contentment and discontentment. Contentment is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the right things, founded on Christ. Discontentment is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things, founded on the world and the enemy. Paul said that we should think about whatever is true. Number one, Jesus is the truth. He's not just true. He is the truth. But what do we know? What does God's Word teach us? I picked four things. I'm going to hit these quickly. I picked four things that God's Word teaches us that we should be thinking about, we should be dwelling on. The first is, I know that God loves me. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And I've shared this before, but for 31 years, my mom and dad did all the right things and taught me the right stuff, took me to church and all of those things. But did you realize that faith has to become your own? I couldn't live off my mom and dad's faith. And I remember at 31 years old, I thought being a Christian was about being a good person, and it just isn't. It should be a result of being a Christian, but that's not what it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is not to be a good person. To be a Christian is to know that God is good and that He loves us. God, and I know that, God loves me, a sinner, a wretched man. He loves me. Secondly, I know that God is with me. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Jesus said that I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to not only be with you, but to be in you. And then we know that we are a child of God, God's child. How great is the love of the Father that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And Marv's not here, but he's given me permission in the past. Marv Gregory, great Marv and Diane, we love them. And Marv was adopted as a child. And he showed me and taught me that adopted children in America, that cannot be undone. Legally, you cannot be unadopted. And we are adopted by God Himself, by the Creator of the universe. We're adopted as His child. Amen. How great is His love that we should be called His child. And then I know that God will work things together for my good. Romans 8:28. So I said in the early service, I just want just kind of a side note. I just want to say this. That is true. God is at work even during those struggles in our life. I was telling the early service, when someone's going through grief and they've lost a loved one or something, and we tend to perhaps as Christians, we want to fix it. You know, you show up and you want to fix it. You can't, first of all, you can't fix it. There's something in the ministry called the ministry of presence. Just be there. Just love them. Hug their neck. While this is true, God will work things together for good. That's not a great thing to say when someone's just lost someone. We're like, hey, well, God will work together for the good even through this. That's not a good time to start quoting that kind of a scripture. But nonetheless, it is true that whatever we go through in life, God is at work. Even this chaos in the Middle East, you think God's not at work? I'm not sure what He's doing right now. You think He's not? You think this caught Him by surprise? It may have caught the Israeli army by surprise. It didn't catch God by surprise. I promise you. And so all these things that we're talking about, we should give the sacrifice of praise and we should pray and we should think about godly things, they result in something. Contentment results in God's incomprehensible peace. The promise is in verse 7. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, and think about these godly things, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I was telling early service, I know many of you have been here, you've heard our story, but it was 23 years ago in September when we lost my brother in the pipeline blast. And I remember this moment very vividly when they flew him to Lubbock and we were in the hospital, the burn unit in Lubbock. And I thought all of us, we were grieving. That's, you know, what families do. We were grieving, and I thought we were a mess. And one of the nurses came over to me, and she thanked me for the witness our family had been. And in my mind, I'm thinking, we're a mess. What are you talking about? And she said, I work here every day in this burn unit. I see tragedy every day. And she said, I can always tell families that have Jesus and families that don't have Jesus. Because the families who have Jesus have peace in the midst of the trial, the struggle. And the others have panic. Those without Jesus have panic. That's what we, first of all, that's what we have as followers of Jesus Christ. We have peace. And for those in the world who don't know that peace through Christ, that would panic in circumstances like that, we are supposed to offer it to them. That's our commission, is to offer that to them. Contentment, when we have joy, when we have Christ, it results in incomprehensible peace that transcends understanding and circumstances. Jesus said it really clearly. This world, you're going to have trouble. He didn't make up any grand story. You're going to have trouble. But I've overcome the world. I'm bigger than the world. Trust me, and you will have peace, even in the midst of the trials of this life. A life of joy and contentment is the result of habits that we develop and choices that we make, primarily the choice to claim Jesus. But some of the practical things he said, we're to praise God in all circumstances. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to count our blessings. When we want to focus on ourselves and woe is me, he's saying serve others. Put Jesus first in your life. If you just bow your heads with me as we close, I want to invite the praise team to come on up. Just in your own heart, in your own mind, just thank the Lord for what he's done for you. Ask him to reveal himself in a brand new way, to reveal the blessings that you have in your life that you need to celebrate, that you need to thank him for. Father, the lesson that I'm reminded of over and over as I read through your word, especially in this book of Philippians, that joy and contentment is not the result of pleasant circumstances. Joy and contentment is the result of putting our faith in you. Knowing who you are and how you feel about us, what you've done for us. Help us to dwell on that, Lord. Help us to give thanks for that. We pray now in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able as we close. Just a reminder, there will be people up front that would love to pray for you if you have some prayer needs. I'll be out and would love to greet our guests. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without visiting with me about that.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend? Oh,
God would say to us, don't be anxious about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.